Broadcasted live. Catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.
Hi, Coco. It's Shelley from West Rand. My car is VW Golf 2, 1989. Damn, wherever I go, like, they'll be like, why do you like this car? Like, it's a man's car. It's a high-profile car for the totes. Like, it's stressing me out.
Listening to Ikhaya this, yo, yes, it's like you are reading my mind. Yo, if you think I'm a Ibaki, whether Toyota or Ford or Unokwacha is Suzuki, I can't, I am so scared. You know that Saba Wutuda Zoitata, every day, like I have that thing. Yes, in Jigarasha, I don't know how many times. Because of that VMT, you buy a brand new car, they come for it.
The car that I like very much, but I'm less likely to buy, is those bikies. I'm not sure if I'm allowed to say the brand, but I'm just going to say those bikies. Those bikies, those who know, they know. They are very high risk. I work in the financial services industry, so even when you want to insure them, they will tell you that it's a requirement now with most of the traditional insurers in South Africa that it needs to have at least two tracking devices. So that's how much of a high risk it is. And that's the reason I, as much as I like it, I don't think I want to fall part of that statistic where I'm enjoying my bike, I'm going where, and I'm being hijacked, you know, because anything can go wrong in a hijack scene. Yes, those bikes, I like it very much, but I don't think I'll buy it.
I do that deliberately, right? Because so many of you have been sharing your thoughts and feedback. Those voice notes were specifically from Shelley, Ntabi and Luke, who were responding to a question that I asked earlier when I was speaking to the Drive 959 team, essentially asking, which vehicles are you cautious about when it comes to purchasing them because you fear that they might be hijacked in a market like South Africa? Yay, a lot of you are quite concerned about VW, as we heard that being mentioned by not only the voice notes, but also see some of your commentary on social media where we asked you the same question, and a lot of commentary focused on VW. Asanda Nyakambi saying anything VW nje lapo, I've always wanted a Tiguan. Oh boy. Brian saying I've made peace with that, any car can be stolen, but a GD6 is a no-go area for me. Not too sure what GD6 is, but we'll find out. Golf, there we go.
Toyota.
Okay. And of course, a few others actually saying, come to think of it, I've always driven cars that people warn me not to buy as they are high risk. However, I've never had a car stolen from me. That's a comment from Olani Mtimkulu there coming through. Well, if you haven't guessed, we are having a conversation, a very important and intriguing one that does help us pay attention to not only understanding some of the most high-risk vehicles or vehicle brands in South Africa that typically face hijackings, but of course, what are the main reasons and drivers behind it? And as we know, we might be highlighting a challenge, but there is a solution to it. And of course, tonight we joined by someone who leads the pack within providing solutions for us in order to track, identify, and retrieve our vehicles back and just limit and minimize the risk that we typically face when it comes to theft as well as hijacking specifically. The chief operating officer at Tracker joins us back in studio tonight, Duma Ngobo, to give us some insight. Such a pleasure to have you back in studio, sir.
Thanks for having me again.
Fantastic. I must say, I'm hoping that you're intrigued by the voice notes that we heard this evening, as well as some of the commentary on social media, where South Africans are just, you know, taking a thumbsuck and a guess, and I guess using their own perspective and shared experience as to the threats of vehicle brands that might be more popular when it comes to hijackings. Your thoughts, I guess, just on some of the brand names that were mentioned?
Yeah, I think people's lived experience is real. And we might say thumbsucked or intuition, but it's actually quite accurate.
Yeah.
In terms of what people are seeing, their lived experience when they finance cars, when they insure vehicles, what they're hearing from the insurers in terms of their requirements. So it's actually quite accurate. It's quite exciting to hear it.
I'm glad, because at least we are getting this live feedback. And of course, to many of our listeners, if you want to continue sharing your voice notes, do so on 063-688-0959. But Duma, before we do take a look at the intricacies of this data and how it does correlate with the lived experience, I think it is important that we provide a refresher on the conversation we had earlier this year regarding the difference between theft and hijacking. Tonight's conversation will specifically focus on hijacking, which is not described in the same manner as theft. Talk us through that again as a refresher.
Quite right. I think when we talk about vehicle crime, you know, a lot of people put out a lot of numbers, but what we talk about is the difference between a stolen vehicle, which is essentially a vehicle taken without your permission, and a hijacked vehicle, or robbery, as we call it. And that's a vehicle taken by means of force, or as a result of a business robbery or a household robbery. And those are the sort of differences we looked at. But in the main, you can talk about theft and hijacking.
Got you. Awesome. And maybe it's also important for us just to take a look at some of those themes, because last year we did see a slight pickup. I'm assuming in terms of the numbers this year, the data is still being collated to see whether the trends still see an uptick, perhaps. Would that be correct?
Yeah, I think this year, at the start of the year, we've seen a slightly lesser sort of increase in the vehicle crime trends overall. That's off Tracker's Car Park, that is. So different organizations track different numbers. I'm referencing the Tracker numbers, as it were. I think at the end of last year, we had seen a significant upsurge in the period from July to December of 2023. And last time I spoke about the silly season, which is essentially October-November period, where you see a very heightened increase in vehicle crime. Unfortunately, criminals are also preparing for the end of the year sort of buzz, as we call it. Not to underplay the impact on people, I think a more significant number is the increase in hijackings. So the closer you are to a 50-50 split, last time I spoke about 52-48 split between theft and hijacking, whereas in Gauteng, it tended to be a lot stronger on theft.
Yes.
And those were some of the numbers I was referencing the last time.
I do recall. As you mentioned, criminals are very smart too. They have a silly season where they also capitalize on the market, but they also have their favorites.
Yes.
And maybe reasons we'll go into in just a moment. But talk us through the top six most hijacked vehicles and their brands in South Africa.
I think to understand vehicle crime trends in general, one must take a step back. The easiest thing to do is to say vehicle A or vehicle B. Bucky A or Bucky B is the most stolen. But if you just look at the NAMSA numbers, let's call it 50,000 vehicles, 55,000 vehicles sold a month on a good month, on a good period, you would see which vehicle manufacturers take the lion's share of those vehicle sales.
Got you.
So as an attribution of those numbers, you'd also see criminals tend to steal more of those vehicles. They are high in demand, highly popular. That's the one bucket. The second bucket is we have the cross-border crime elements as well. Our neighboring countries like Mozambique, Botswana has a very stringent system, so slightly less volumes going there.
Okay.
But generally, you have cross-border crime. So if you look at your Buckies, your LDVs, you see a lot of cross-border movement of those vehicles.
And important to those markets, because I guess the road network infrastructure is actually...
Exactly. And so South Africa becomes quite attractive. I think last time I spoke about price parity.
Yes.
A vehicle that's R1 million in South Africa could be R1.5 million in our neighboring country. So not to underplay again, why not shop for it here?
It's a tough one, but as you say, looking at the brands, their popularity, and some of the vehicles in terms of their sales in South Africa, again, we see names that many of our listeners have actually alluded to. Toyota, Volkswagen, Ford, and even Toyota Fortuner. Maybe let's talk through some of these numbers, and I'm assuming VW Polo features as the top most hijacked vehicle in South Africa, again, based on its popularity, affordability, and the number of the vehicles in circulation in South Africa. What are some of the other nuances you see with other vehicle brands? Toyota Hilux, Toyota Etios, Ford Ranger, Toyota Fortuner?
I think the first thing to be said is all those vehicles you mentioned are actually great cars. I think if you speak about a Toyota, you'll see our taxis. They tend to use that vehicle, and it's used for a reason.
My grandfather used
because
to say it's a car
you
for
could
life.
Get lots of mileage. Your grandfather said it's a car for life.
Yeah.
We've seen huge developments of other manufacturers as well with the Ford Ranger. One of your customers mentioned Unokwaja, which is the Suzu DMX. And we see those kind of developments happening. And hence, it becomes quite attractive for would-be criminals. Mm. So what are the factors that I think people need to think about? Firstly, in South Africa, unfortunately, of our circa, let's call it 12 million vehicles, the numbers have it at anywhere between 35 and 38% are actually insured. So you have a significant proportion of vehicles on our road not being insured.
Mm-hmm.
So if you take, let's say, a comical view or a cynical view, one would say any parts becomes available to repair your vehicle were to get into an accident or a state of disrepair.
Okay.
That's the one factor. The second, some vehicle parts are quite interchangeable.
Mm-hmm.
So a combi could use a Bucky's part, etc., right? And it's becoming less prevalent as vehicles become more sophisticated. But I grew up in a few townships in South Africa.
Yeah.
There's certain vehicles that are easy to do up. You lower the suspension, put a sound system, it's gorgeous. So that's the attractiveness of vehicles. So you mentioned a Polo versus a Hilux.
Mm-hmm.
And I mentioned cross-border versus a local market.
Yes.
So there are places where you will tend to find a vehicle being stolen and still remaining in South Africa, whereas others will be stolen or hijacked and taken cross-border.
I get you.
Yeah.
In the back of my mind, as we're having this conversation, I'm actually envisioning some of the conversations I would hear my big brothers have, you know, whether it's like, boy, ntengi polo, boy, drop your suspension.
Yeah.
Or you hear the conversation around, no, nshinshi engine.
Yeah.
Nafaga le quantum. Nafaga,
yes.
You know, and it makes sense. And I guess this is actually what contributes to not only the heightened rate of hijacking, but the secondhand market that is so popular and actually thrives on criminality. And that brings us to another point, right? And I can imagine as tracker, you not only track vehicles, but there's also some phenomenal technology you use where you can actually track different parts of the vehicle.
Yeah.
What are you finding in your data in terms of this trend?
So I think the idea of just tracking a vehicle for stolen vehicle recovery purposes is something that will remain with us for some time. But consumers and customers are looking for different solutions.
Mm.
For my sins, I have 4 children who need to be ferried to school and back.
Mm-hmm.
I would like to know, are they getting to school? Are they safe?
Mm-hmm.
So those are some of the tool sets that we provide that allows customers to manage their lives. You and I in studio quite late in the evening.
Yeah.
Mine or your partner, whatever the case may want to know, are you en route?
Mm-hmm.
I may want to share my journey and let the partner know that I'm sharing my journey. Whilst before we started the conversation, you were talking about areas that are so-called riskier.
Yes,
and
my colleagues had a huge question for you.
Yeah, we get lashed for this to say certain areas that where our families are, call them townships, we say you've entered a high-risk area, and that's incredibly offensive.
Mm.
And I do think there's value in some of the early warnings we provide, but the other element is we could do a lot better in some of those things. So,
and maybe let's just to break that down and add more color and context there. I just want us as an audience to also understand the reason why one would get a tix is because these statistically and looking at your data in terms of vehicle theft are actually high risk areas, right? So
they've historically been.
Okay.
I think vehicle crime changes and the trends change where vehicles are likely to be stolen. And those need to influence how we communicate to customers in a responsible way.
Gotcha. How much of this is also influenced by the vehicle owner's behavior? In other words, how often they frequent those particular geographic spaces?
Yeah, that plays a big role. I think in the world of being customer-centric, I can't every time you visit your aunt in Pimville say you've entered a high-risk area.
Yeah.
Even though you go there frequently, you might go to church in Pimville. There's one famous one that I used to visit.
Yes.
And those kind of things. So customer behavior does influence it.
Mm-hmm.
And the things that you can trigger on your app as well in order to manage your routes, etc., etc.
Got you. Another intriguing one that also crossed my mind was, of course, customer location. So if I am Gugu, who stays in Pimville, and I happen to drive one of these high-risk vehicles or vehicles that is very popular in terms of hijacking or theft, like a VW Polo, just for example, does that play an influence as well in terms of the type of tracking device that it's required, the cost associated with it, and even some of the ancillary factors like insurance there too?
So I think we would treat the different cohorts of customers differently, depending where you live. If you live in Pimville, that's your location, and your physical address, you work in Rosebank, very different to somebody who's from Pretoria and infrequently visits from Pimville. So I think that's quite right. The other influencing factor is who you're insured by and what the risk treatment plan that they're solving for. I think one of your callers mentioned multiple kind of devices, multiple tool sets in your vehicle. So those are all the factors that we would have to support.
Is that becoming more common?
It is becoming more common. I think we found that coming out of COVID, the crime trends were vastly different. I think we'd been restrained during COVID. Movement was curtailed. We were almost almost in a movie-like scenario where police were everywhere and you couldn't travel. You had to have permits and those kind of things. Mm-hmm. Coming out of that cycle, vehicle crime then kicked off quite dramatically. And so insurers responded to say, hey, our risk numbers is looking different. Tracking companies, Tracker in this instance, can you partner with us or educate us what are the tool sets we need to have? And we played a meaningful role there.
Interesting one. Are they also specific to the vehicle make, vehicle type, geographic location, customer profile? And I say this because these are all like variant themes that actually do play a part and an influence in the kind of solution you bring forward.
Let me simplify it. So Gauteng, most vehicles.
Yes.
It accounts for anything between 58 and 61% of all vehicle crime nationally.
Wow.
Followed by quite a long distance by KZN, followed by the Western Cape. So if you lived in Gauteng, you stand almost an equitable risk between theft or hijacking, depending on the make and model. The more sophisticated its electronic systems and security systems are, you're likelier to face a hijacking. A criminal doesn't want to waste time trying to get into a vehicle that's complex. Coming to the Western Cape, there's other influencing factors such as drugs, such as the prevalence of firearms. So you tend to see hijacked numbers almost being 8 out of 10 in the Western Cape. KZN, there's an element of violent crime that is part of this. So the tools that you need to have are all influenced by these things. So if you drive an SUV, your insurer will most likely say we need an early warning system, we need an application, we need maybe one or two different kinds of devices to help you keep you safe.
Got you. Sure. Dumi, so it's quite complex, and I think really important for us to actually understand some of these perspectives. But if you've just joined us, it's 22 minutes after 7 o'clock. We are in conversation with the COO of Tracker, Duma Ngobo, the technology company that's a leader in terms of vehicle tracking, tracing, and of course recovery. We do have a question that's come through from one of our listeners, Dumelo, who's dialed in on 086-000-0959. Dumelo, you are on the road, so I'm hoping that you're safe. You're not in a high-risk area. Oh, but if it is, it's home, potentially. But welcome to Kayabiz, and tell us what your question is, sir.
Thanks, Gugu. Dobona Babduma. Yes, having a question, because I've realized that most of the time when you look at your Tracker videos on TikTok and all that, you get the point where there are incidences where cars are stolen and they are recovered late, maybe after parts are stripped off, or maybe the signal is lost in a certain area, and then now they recover your vehicle. So now there's a trend lately from certain individuals, I don't know if whether companies or individuals, where they actually program your computer box to use a certain set of tools to start, not only with a key, maybe they program it to have a USB plus a key. And the other one that I've seen is where they program your computer box and link it with your phone, or maybe three phones or four. And then in an incident where you have hijacking happening or your car is stolen, you can actually dial your car to lose power until that pad phone, the OTP sent to that pad phone can be actually dialed to the car, and then it actually goes back to normal. So now, my question is based on the innovative part of WeBiker, Tracker, to say, in such incidences, do they actually have creative ways to actually reduce incidences where cars are not recoverable, or they are recovered late, maybe through signal jammers, through this method? Are they having talks to work maybe with these kind of individuals to say, okay, fine, let's put more safety measures for our clients? That's my question.
Dumelo, you sound like a man who knows what he's talking about. You're talking about ECUs, OTPs, USB, the key, computer box. So clearly, you have a very good understanding of the dynamics here. And I guess we will continue to build on a very important question that you've brought here on the innovative solutions to assist in early tracking. Thank you so much for your question, Dumelo. Please listen on the radio. But Duma, your feedback, and maybe if you can add more detail to the various steps and the innovation that Dumelo's referred to.
I'm worried about Dumelo's level of sophistication.
He's good,
I think he should come work for me. So Dumelo, let's talk afterwards. I think what he is raising, and the important thing is, vehicle crime is an ever-changing game.
Mm.
Gone are the days where people break into the window of the car using a brick,
yep,
or the spark plug method, which they tend to use, you know, while people are moving in traffic.
Mm.
I think vehicle criminals are sophisticated individuals. A recent study said there's well over 40 sophisticated syndicates in the Gauteng area alone. So these people wake up every day and try and understand how they can compromise vehicle security systems.
My goodness.
Just to borrow from two things that he mentioned, I think there's YouTube videos that are circling around of people relatively easily seeming to get into high-end SUVs through what we call a CAN bus attack.
Okay.
And what that means is you plug in a device into the vehicle's electronic systems,
yes,
to allow you to access the vehicle electronic systems quite readily. Mm-hmm. And within a few seconds, you enter the car. And you can override the ignition system and you can be off.
Ooh.
So that is called a CAN bus method.
Okay.
One former quite senior person from Eskom was the victim of that in Monte Cassino. There's a video of that on YouTube.
Okay.
The second thing that he mentioned, which is contrary to how we approach the subject, we don't actually post videos of vehicle recoveries online.
Why not?
One of the reasons why we don't is we don't like to sensationalize the subject.
Mm.
Often there's exchange of firearms. The language is not the most savory language. But in a responsible manner, we like to go about doing our work. What we do is we'll publish recovery activities on Twitter to show people that we're alive and we are responsive to their needs. There's other companies which are more sensational, one in the East Rand, one in the Western Cape, that will publish said videos of chases and so on.
Mm.
So we take a much more conservative approach to that.
Gotcha.
But just circling back to what you asked, our role is to work with vehicle manufacturers to balance two things. Can we implement a tool that can help track a vehicle, that can help monitor movement, depending on the product the customer have, without interfering with the vehicle's electronic systems?
Okay.
However, more recently, there's a variety of tools that people can buy, sort of aftermarket tools that do vehicle crank inhibition. Mm-hmm. So in other words, you can dial into your vehicle or through a sequence, you know, you do a following things and only then your vehicle will start.
Gotcha.
And that may or may not void your warranty. And each customer needs to be informed and they can speak to their vehicle manufacturers to say what is permissible in terms of the warranty or your vehicle guarantees, as it were.
Mm-hmm.
We don't particularly play in that. that space. But there's a whole lot of innovative solutions that we have, because our game is to prove to our customer that we actually can recover vehicles. The moment we can't do that, customers won't vote with their feet. Sure. They won't buy our products and services. So innovation is something we tremendously focus on. Gone are the days where you could respond to vehicle crime.
Yeah.
We used to have what we called a golden hour. If you don't respond within the hour, the likelihood of a recovery may be impacted adversely. So now that window is a lot shorter. So from a proactive point of view, we have to have different tools to do that.
Mm-hmm. And maybe talk us, keen to actually have you talk us through some of those tools to actually prevent the likelihood of some kind of criminal activity, because that almost seems as though that's where the secret sauce lies.
Exactly.
Once the car started and off,
exactly.
It becomes a lot more tricky.
The other element that he introduced is the problem we have in South Africa of load shedding. And you would know, using your cell phone to try and communicate, it becomes incredibly difficult.
Yes.
So part of our innovation has had to be, how do we overcome load shedding? How do we overcome have a multiplicity of communication capabilities? Notwithstanding load shedding, we can still communicate with the vehicle. We can still track your car, as people effectively say. So those are some of the enhancements that we invest in. The last one you asked about was around preventative measures.
Mm.
There are areas where we know that a vehicle is likely to be taken. We know it because the statistics tells us that.
Yeah.
We know because time of day, weekend, weekday, we can interpret those numbers.
Mm-hmm.
So the approach to how we curtail that, working with law enforcement and other role players, because this is a force multiplier game. You can't play it on your own as just a tracking company.
100%.
So those are some of the investments we make.
Definitely. I'm so intrigued by this conversation because there's so many different nuances and, of course, different partnerships that also come into play, as you say, with the insurance providers, with the vehicle manufacturers, but also still being cognizant of, you know, not voiding any warranties that might have to come into play. But essentially, this means, Duma, there is no car that is hijacked, theft-proof in the country, and regardless of the brand, the make, the model, one just does need to be a lot more mindful of, I guess, the environment, how it is that they manage the particular vehicle and their behavior, and I guess some other nuances to it. You know, help us get a better understanding, because I don't want anyone to be fearful of any particular vehicle, brand, or local areas and destinations that they might go to.
I think, for me, people have to live their lives.
Mm.
And we work hard for our livelihoods. We work hard to afford the vehicles and the homes we live in. So go out and buy the vehicle of your choice.
Mm.
But speak to the vehicle manufacturer, speak to your insurance company, and understand what are the dynamics of those cars.
Mm.
A friend of mine on Sunday evening had a vehicle stolen that was from 2010. In my history of working for Tracker, I had never seen that vehicle make and model stolen. So I think you're quite right that any vehicle can be taken at any time, right? But there are more popular vehicles. And usually a telltale sign is the NAMSA numbers.
Yeah.
The more vehicles bought and sold, the more the vehicle is likely to be wanted by our less friendlier criminal friends.
Exactly. Sure, Duma, just when we thought we were wrapping it up, we've got a few more voice notes and maybe one more call from Pizza that we'll take, because this is definitely a conversation that hits close to home. It hits all of us as motorists. If you're in your vehicle right now, making your way home, listening to this conversation, just be observant about the areas, the surrounding areas, and of course the locations that you might drive in, drive through, drive to. All of them do play an influence in terms of hijacking and theft in South Africa. But we've got two voice notes, one from Zwane. Let's start with that, and then we'll hear from Teboho.
Good evening. I just got back now and I'm listening to this conversation. Very much interesting. I just want to know one thing. Okay, right. I put a tracker, they jam it. And I put a tracker in a beam. Which one is more advisable? Because now they jam the trackers. They actually know where the trackers are. Because per specific car, you guys tend to put them in one place. That's one thing I've heard. And yes, we speak to your installers and all of that. And then they tell us, this car, put it here, this car, put it there. So can it just not be anywhere, wherever the installer wants to put it? And is it advisable for me to put a tracker in a beam or just a beam? Thank you.
Valid question there from Zwane. Maybe let's start with the location of the tracker. Jamming, of course, that also comes into play, and then understanding the difference between a tracker and a beam.
So I think what he's talking about is criminals do use very sophisticated communication retarding instruments. Jammers, I think, is what he referenced. So what it effectively means, Gook, is that in any area, in the surrounding area, depending on the size, etc., you may impede communications.
Mm.
So tracking companies try a multiplicity of tools to counteract the advent of jamming. And if criminals think they can get away with it with jammers, I have something for them because this is my game. He then asked about tracker versus a competitor of ours. Yeah,
yes.
I think he's called it Beam, but it's Beamy, I think he's talking about.
Oh, okay.
And the reality is similar to an Android and an iPhone, or Android versus iOS. They're essentially solving the problem in a slightly different way. He needs to make an informed choice as to how does he want to solve the problem. So in other words, is he looking for a stolen vehicle recovery tool only?
Mm-hmm.
Or is he looking for stolen recovery and telematics? What does telematics mean?
Mm.
Impact detection, mobility,
your brake,
park location, your brake, all of that. So what is he trying to solve for? And that will inform his decision as to which tool he uses. Lastly, his insurer might actually prescribe to him what he needs to have.
It
would be remiss of me to say he needs to have one versus the other. I'm obviously a proponent for tracker, so I'll always vote for ourselves.
Look at how objective you are. Instead of using this airtime freely, but we appreciate that because it is helping us educate and have informed decisions in which options might work best. We have one more voice note from Tebogo that we'll take, and let's listen to this and perhaps respond to the question too.
Hi, Gugu. A question that I have is, I just want to find out, are we seeing an increase in carjackings despite the technology that we have, or are we seeing a decrease? Either way, increase or decrease, is there a way that tracking companies are working on innovating and changing and improving the technology to decrease and to discourage and to deter criminals from hijacking vehicles?
Interesting question there from Tebogo.
I think it's a great question. So I think if you compare year on year, 2023 versus 2024, we've had a slightly lower prevalence of either hijackings or thefts,
mm-hmm.
if you compare year on year.
Got you.
Obviously, if you compare the first half of the year, meaning January through to April, our year is usually January to June. It's significantly lower than July to December of 2023. So I think the context is important. The hijacking is unfortunately on the increase. I think gone are the days where it used to be 60-40, 60% theft with 40% hijacking. The more sophisticated vehicles become, and the more the opportunity as an opportunistic crime, as it were,
mm-hmm.
You see hijackings growing more and more.
Mm.
The last issue that I think people need to understand is vehicles are not only used to be sold and bought. They also use in the commissioning of other crimes.
Yes.
I think the South African police stats or SAPS stats, they talk about trio crimes. Where you see a vehicle, a firearm, there's likely to be a criminal event taking place.
Mm-hmm.
CITs, they tend to use more bulkier vehicles to ram the cash and transit vehicle and
gotcha.
So on. So hijackings are also influenced by that factor, let alone the factor of sophisticated alarm systems and so on.
Yes.
So that's where you see hijackings. Now, his question was, are we doing anything? We have to. If we are to be in business, we have to constantly evolve.
Mm-hmm.
And we work very closely with manufacturers to say, how can we do this better?
Mm.
Here's what we're seeing in terms of where vehicles are compromised or the trend of your vehicle make and model.
Yes.
Let's sit down and figure out how to solve it better.
Mm.
That may mean not only using one form of tracking, but a multiplicity of tools in one vehicle to actually solve the problem. We have to.
Got you. This has been such an enlightening conversation, Duman. As always, we've extended the time for the conversation. We've had so many questions to respond to. But what I'm really grateful for is that, yep, the numbers, the experience, the comments that we've shared on social media from our lived listeners does correlate with actual data. But more than that, what you've really empowered us to understand is that purchase the vehicle of your taste, of your affordability, but put in place the necessary measures to understand how to minimize the risk of theft as well as hijacking. And that, as tracking companies like Tracker, you are sourcing the solutions to provide for that. Thank you so much for your time this evening. So this has been an incredibly enlightening conversation, even just understanding the kind of technology that goes behind making sure that we're able to track vehicles. Yeah. We haven't even gone into the recovery phase, because
that's a whole different
conversation
beast.
As well. Duman, such a pleasure. Truly appreciate your time as always, sir.
Thank you for your time, and may South Africans stay safe.
Definitely. Thank you so much. That's Duman Ngobo, who's the COO of Tracker, joining us in studio today, responding to many of your questions and the theme that we've shared with many of you, taking a look at some of the most popular vehicles which face hijacking or theft in South Africa. And many of you have shared some of your questions, your themes, and your concerns. So to Zwane, Teboho, Shirley, Ntabi, and Luke, thank you so much for your voice notes and really engaging us in this conversation. Yes, there are some risks. Yes, you could potentially face a hijacking or theft, but more importantly, the solutions are there. Make sure you find what works for you, your needs, and of course, your pocket.
If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.